So last time, you guys decided to do a little bit of shopping after and finishing up your conversation with Gratokar on the Grey Ghosts, the missing egg, this perhaps literal or metaphorical rift or hole somewhere. And you've collected your badges and you made your way out. You were considering selling some things, trying to find potentially a good vendor where you could get quite a bit of cash for your horseshoes of the Sephir. You found some weapons and armor. You found a very particular armor that was potentially going to sell some studded leather to Lara. However, he demanded for such a low price that his name be embroidered upon it.
That was not a low price.
to you currently, it is not a low price. But he's a shrewd gray dwarf. It was Indigo who took the green drake skin and has left it with the same gray dwarf to try and have some kind of garment made from it. But it will take them a couple of days to have it made. And as you guys continued around the Blade Bazaar, keeping your eyes out for the supposed contact of the Grey Ghosts, a Darrow named Droki, you guys, or Sifel particularly, stumbled across a odd merchant who had a large collection of arms out in front of him, very nicely decorated and very finely crafted compared to a lot of other merchants within the Blade Bazaar. And they were very intrigued by the crystals and the staff, and eventually a bargain was struck in which this gray dwarf, Dane Ironhead, would be taking the moon crystals and would be making some kind of weapon for Sifel. And having seen the rest of the party and the ill-armored Aquilara, he kind of mentioned that he had this weird liquid armor from a faraway place that she could perhaps purchase off of him. And with some crystals and some other things thrown in and a very generous Arthur Vane throwing down 250 gold, you now have this weird jug of bronze-like liquid sloshing around in your pack as you guys have spotted the elusive Droki and are now giving chase. And so, first up, we have Indigo.
All right. Indigo sees that Sifel's been made and is just going to start kind of sliding through the crowd after Droki. So I want to move my full movement, but I don't want to dash. I want to use my action to attempt to stay hidden, at least for this turn.
Okay, so you're gonna move, and you're going to try to be stealthy here. Okay, you have advantage in doing so, so go ahead and roll me a stealth check at advantage.
All right. That will cancel out my disadvantage for my clanky armor.
Nice.
All right, ooh, and that is a keen 18.
Okay, all right. Moving along is Arthur Vane, who kind of turns to... he sees Indigo take off into the crowd, no longer sees Lara, but Stool and Sifel are still beside him, and he kind of turns to you, Sifel, in your pillow-covered head, and goes,
Is this the one that we need, for sure?
Yes, follow the weird hat.
Are they evil?
I don't particularly know. I don't think we were told.
All right, I won't hurt them then.
Don't maim, just catch.
Fair enough. And he sprints off after Droki, and let's take another look at his movement here. He has 30 feet worth of movement, so he's going to double move, and he is, for such a large figure, everybody just starts kind of clearing out of his way as he's barreling through after Droki, and he gets within 20 feet. He is not dashing, but now Droki has made been made aware that there is another large figure chasing after him. Okay, next in the order is Yusufel.
Okay, so you said I am 80 feet away, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, please tell me all what your how much you did move. So, like, Indigo, how much exactly in feet did you move?
30 feet.
Just 30. Okay. Got it. Thank you. Go ahead, Sifo.
Okay. I am going to... I am going to dash.
Okay.
And move... So I will move 60 feet towards Droki, trying to, trying to get within a good distance of him.
Okay. Yep, so you are 20 feet away now. All right. Yep, Lara.
Is my turn.
The invisible Lara.
So I see both Sifel, Indigo, and our new pal Arthur sprinting, right?
You don't really see Indigo. He has seemingly slipped into the crowd. Arthur Vane, okay, though, is barreling through, and Sifel, I imagine, is probably running up the same path behind Arthur, or is he kind of slipping into the crowd as well?
No, he's sort of using Arthur as a means to plow through the crowd.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, he's large enough for that to be done. So that's what you're spotting.
Okay, so what I want to do is kind of get, I'm going to move my full 30 feet. Mm-hmm. And then I want to watch the Droki. If he thinks he's being followed, like, is there a way that I can kind of get a sense, like maybe an insight check or whatever, of like where I think he's going to turn so that I can like cut through an alley or something, like to try and get ahead of him?
Ooh.
Like I want to try and like not go full at him, but try to guess where he's going to turn.
Okay.
So that I can sprint down a side alley.
Got it. Yeah. Roll an insight check.
I'm not good at insight. So
I'm gonna do an opposed deception check here.
Okay.
Let me bring up his.
I have a negative one to insight.
Whoa. All right,
here we go. Oh, and I'm disadvantaged because I'm exhausted.
Oof.
Big this loss. Can only go well.
Right.
Only go well.
Well, it's not going to be great. I got a 4.
He got a 7. So he is so, like, between his weird bouncing tentacle hat and his, like, like Captain Jack Sparrow weaving his arms around, doing all sorts of crazy shit. You have no idea what this cat's going to do. You don't even know if he really knows what he's going to do.
Okay. Well, that's my action.
Okay. All right, then. Well, next in the order is Stool. Stool here with his 25 feet of movement. He is going to double move. And he's going to get within 50 feet of Droki. And we are now at Droki's turn. Droki here. All of you that have an eye on him, see him, like, tap his heels together, and then he just blitz off into the crowd, and he is going to try and make a stealth check here with advantage because it is heavily obscured with all the other people. Okay, what's his stealth bonus here? Okay, good to know. And as of right now, you cannot see him, and you do not know how far away he has gotten. Okay. So, that is his turn. We are back at the top of the order with Indigo. Indigo, you had moved 30 feet, and you had kind of slipped into the crowd, so you don't believe Droki has eyes on you now, but now he has taken off. Go ahead and make a perception check to see if you can spot them.
Absolutely. It's a 15.
15. You do not see them.
That being the case, I'm just going to keep pushing through the crowd. And start making my way further ahead, but still attempting to kind of cloak myself in the crowd.
Okay. I'm going to do this real quick so you can't see Droki's token on the map. Which direction on our Roll20 map here are you going in?
I am going to keep towards the water.
Okay.
The docks to my left and kind of pushing ahead, figuring that, you know, I'll see him if he, like, breaks containment on us.
Okay. I'll put you about here, because now if you've just moved your regular amount, you would be about there or so where Droki was, a little bit over that. Actually, you would be at 60 feet. Are you double moving at all?
Yeah, I'm going to double move here.
You're going to double move.
Okay. I did not see it.
Okay, so Indigo continues along the waterfront. You're now around the area where you last kind of spotted Droki in the hopes of also kind of catching up to where they might have gone to. Next in the order is Arthur. Let's see if Arthur can spot where Droki has gone. They cannot. So Arthur is just kind of going to barrel on. He was about here last time. He's going to continue on straight, kind of meeting up in this corner there. And next up is Sefel.
So I hadn't moved my token last time. So if I had moved 60 feet, whereabouts...
You would have been about there. I went ahead and moved you. You guys should be able to move your tokens, right? We're just going to do approximations right now.
Yep. So where was the last place that we saw Droki? Or can I try to see him?
Yeah, absolutely. Make a perception check with disadvantage because of the crowd.
Okay. There's the garbage. Four.
You do not see them. However, where you are standing is basically right where they had been.
Okay. But they continued... I wouldn't have known what direction they continued to go in.
No, unless you have something that you can do, either a check you want to do or a spell that you want to cast to try and ascertain in which direction. You do not see them, so you do not actually know where they went.
I do not. So what I will do is I will actually move eastward between these two buildings, and I actually want to get an eye on Indigo, if I can.
Yeah, I'll say you're both kind of like coming around this corner of this large building with forges bellowing out the sides and stuff like that. Yeah, you managed to make eye contact with Indigo, I would say.
Okay. How far away how close can I get to him without dashing?
I'd say that you guys are within 30 feet of each other.
Okay. I'm going to call out to Indigo. I'm going to say, trust your natural instincts. Don't watch the crowd. Look for tracks.
Okay.
And that is my turn.
All right. Lara, you are up.
When Lara lost sight of Droki, she sprinted toward one of these buildings. And I would like to climb to get a vantage point to see over the crowd.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and make me an athletics check.
My athletics is better, but still exhausted. Oh, I rolled 2 11, so that's a 16.
Okay, yeah, you manage to scale up, and you are definitely not at the top of this particular building, but you're about 20 feet up, so you have a good eye over the crowd.
Okay, so 60 feet of movement. Do I have it, like, is there, do I, can I take a minute to look, or do I need to wait to my next turn to keep moving up the up building?
Let's see. I just gotta double check. Your movement speed, unless you have a climb speed, is halved when you are climbing something, right?
Right. So I would, if I move and dash, I could move 30 feet up a building.
Okay.
Climb.
Well, then I will say, if you want to, you can get on top of this building and still have about 15 feet worth of movement, and you could make a perception check.
All right, then I'll do that. So I'm going to go the whole way up, standing with at a certain vantage point to be able to hopefully see, like, multiple directions, and mm-hmm. then take a little peek.
Okay, I will say you're not rolling at disadvantage because you are above the crowd.
Okay, cool. Doesn't matter, Will, that's a 2!
Damn, guys!
Oh my god.
Oh no! You are, like, just so, amped up from, like, friggin' running up this building, and when you're up there, you're actually getting, like, a lot of smoke and smog in your face as it's starting to get thicker and thicker the higher up you go, so you're just kind of coughing on it, but you do see the others down below, through your watering eyes.
This is just shades of the basilisk fight.
It really is.
It's like, oh my god, we're so bad at seeing things.
All right, next up is Stool. Oh, Stool. Poor old boy. Yeah, he's got nothing there that can really help. And he sees Indigo, so he's just like running up behind Indigo like, where'd he go?
I don't know, he's pretty good at this game.
Aw, man. I thought I was good at hide-and-seek.
Okay. Well, it's Droki's turn again, and he's doing something, doing things. Okay, and we are back at the top of the order with Indigo.
Indigo, like, looks over at Sifel and, like, just, like, squints his eyes and is like, oh,
work smarter, not harder.
And he is, I'm going to go ahead and cast a spell here, if I could.
Okay.
Because I'm going to cast Locate Object, and I'm looking for that stupid hat.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Shit.
Can you read me the text of the spell?
Yes. Locate Object, second level spell. Describe or name an object that is familiar to you. You sense the direction to the object's location as long as the object is within 1,000 feet of you. If the object is in motion, you know the direction of its movement.
Oh, shit.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm going to say it's not a familiar object with you, to you, but it's such a unique object that you do get a ping on it. And if you guys are looking at the Roll20 map, Indigo, you feel that it is almost 350 feet away from you.
Jesus Christ.
And it's going to the south about here on the Roll20 map, if you can see it. I can keep pinging here in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is a long ways away, and it is moving very fast. So it's up to you guys if you want to stay in chase mode or if you want to drop out and just try to follow it now that you have this ping on it. We'll say, like, narratively, you can keep running after it, but I don't think there's anything you guys could do to necessarily catch up 350 feet.
Nope.
Nah, he too fast. Yeah, I'll kind of gather... I was going to kind of gather Arthur and Sifel and Stool. Okay, I still know where Lara is.
Hey, guys, he is way that way. Let's just, like, we gotta move. We gotta keep moving, but
keep your tokens handy, because I think we have to go back towards the Grey Dwarf part of town.
You say keep your tokens handy?
Yeah, your wormsmith tokens.
Can I say that Lara just saw everyone group up again and came down?
Yeah, absolutely. You can do that. You are still invisible unless you drop it, yeah, though.
No, she leans in and she's like, what's going on?
Oh my. Who said that?
Why do you have to?
Are we continuing?
Every time, Lara.
Are you okay? I don't understand.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I have a magical means of kind of tracking him, so let's kind of keep it going. Follow me, and I'm going to start beating my way south.
Yeah, I'll keep up.
As we're going, can I do a quick look around the crowd to see if we've drawn any unwelcome attention?
I would probably do that as well.
I want to make sure that nobody that we don't want following us is following us.
Sure, you guys can make perception checks or investigation checks, either one.
Good thinking, Brennan.
Perception.
Four.
I am going. There's going to be a very brief, by DM's request, flash of this very brief, quick memory of Sefel, or he believes it is a memory of his own, darting through dark caverns, trying not to be spotted, and looking around to make sure he's not being followed, as he has items and manuscripts like tucked under his arm that he knows that he shouldn't be caught with. And so I'm going to use a knowledge from my past life to add a d6 to that check.
Okay. As this kind of like memory comes over you, you almost feel a connection to something larger within your mind as this happens, and as this quote-unquote inspiration of a such comes to you, that same feeling drifts away very quickly. It recedes from your mind. But go ahead.
Okay. With the addition of the d6, my investigation goes up to an 18.
Okay. So Lara was a 4, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
18. Indigo?
21 perception.
21. Okay. Arthur doesn't know what you guys are looking out for. And so he's just kind of like watching you guys as you're all kind of trotting south and you're all kind of like looking around your shoulders and stuff. He's like,
is there something we should be aware of?
But you guys are all kind of engrossed in what you're doing. Stool, just trying to keep up his stubby little legs. But you, Lara, you are so focused ahead. You're like, God, I cannot let my prey essentially escape me. Mm-hmm. Sevel and Indigo, you both notice that a couple of guards were very interested in what you are doing. And are now just kind of curious as you are making your way south, like as you're passing them by, they're just kind of eyeing you. Indigo, you spot a drow who just seems to like immediately make eye contact with you, and it doesn't even break, just head swiveling, watching you run, and just still. Completely still, just watching you go. But that's all you guys notice. It doesn't seem like anybody's pursuing you or anything of the like.
All right, super. Love to hear it. Love to hear it.
Great.
Are you guys keeping that to yourself?
No. So, well, Sefel is going to mention. We should, as long as you have this ability to track him, I don't know how much haste is required, but we should regain some
normalcy. A couple guards have noticed us. I don't want to create any issues that would impede our progress.
Yep. Slow it down. I did also see one of our old friends.
Who?
Sauls as well.
I have no friends.
Nope. God.
Oh.
The people that brought us together.
The drow.
The friends we made along the way.
Yeah. Also, we do have to keep... We don't have to run. We should keep hurrying. I there is a limit to this range.
Okay.
As you guys are running and you guys are kind of, like, saying this to each other, trying to make it more nonchalant, like, oh, we're just going through a morning jog through Racklestug. Like, no worries. Arthur is just kind of like,
so you were brought together by drow. Interesting. I'd be curious to hear more of this story, perhaps at another point in time.
Yes, it was a wonderful story full of death and love and intrigue. We'll tell you later. Now follow the ping.
I don't know where the ping is. I have to follow you.
Follow Indigo.
Okay, thank you. And you guys keep moving south. While you are keeping decent pace and you guys like flash your badges as you get through one of the gates that lead into the greater hold of the Deep King, you find yourselves making your ways across the large furrow. And Indigo, you can feel the ping very slowly gaining a little bit more ground on you, and you guys realize that you are headed west along the furrow after crossing, until eventually you come to a small staircase. Like, picture kind of like the same steepness of, I can't remember the name of the path that Frodo, Sam, and Gollum take when they're going up to, like, the spider's lair. You know, like, picture that craggy staircase that's super steep, and it just descends into the furrow and past the gates into the, you can see it now, you can see it as the slums that the Darrow reside in here in this west part of the furrow. And so you think now this must be the West Cleft district that had been mentioned before. And I will go ahead and reveal that on the map. And while you guys aren't restricted from the area, as you step foot into it, it's... do you guys... I mean, I'm making so many references here and whatnot, but do you remember... did all everybody see Batman Begins, the Christopher Nolan one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You remember when Batman is, like, going through, I forget the exact part of town it is, but it's basically, like, the ghetto and the slums there, where it's scaffolding everywhere and people just kind of wandering the streets, homeless, that kind of a thing. That is what you get here. The smell. It's this gross mixture of mustiness and fecal matter. And you see Darrow with cloaks about them. Some of them are, like, hissing and snarling at you as you are stepping foot into the district. You hear different yells from all over the place, like, piss off! You are not wanted here! And, like, so on and so forth. And, like, every once in a while, you even feel something being, like, thrown at you, and, like, you hear the occasional tinks off of Arthur's armor, and you feel the ping continue to push on past the West Cleft district, kind of nearing the end of this large furrow. Are you guys doing anything in this area, or are you just trying to get through it as fast as possible?
Is the primary demographic here Darrow?
It's entirely Darrow.
Okay. I want to continue, but I would like to do a quick scan just for shits. Just to see if maybe Bupito's around.
Okay, yeah, make a perception check.
Oh, you know Lara's doing that.
Sure, sure. Go for it.
And maybe her new friend is here bullying everyone. perception?
Yep.
I rolled one. A 17.
17? What'd you get, Lara?
One.
One? Oh, God, you are having such a bad night.
That sweet disadvantage.
I'm just very exhausted.
Yeah. What you got there, Indigo?
Indigo looks around, 23.
23.
Oh my goodness.
All of you are keeping your eyes out for Bupido, yes?
Just a quick scan as we're passing through.
Sure. You don't see anybody that necessarily stands out as Bupido. However, you all feel extremely uneasy as you are passing through these narrow, narrow streets. Like, things are so cluttered together. Arthur is having to, like, almost walk sideways in some parts, just trying to get past, like, these ramshackle huts and scaffolding, and these narrow, kind of, like, are now showing up along the sides of the street, and they're just staring you down, and they have this intense fury, hatred, and disgust as they stare at you all. And you can see, like, they have these Biden-like spears and, you know, little kitchen knives and all sorts of things as they are just watching you walk through. Some of them are like, you feel like you see murder in their eyes for the simple fact of you're walking through here. Like, how dare you? You hear lots of comments like, dirty surfaces. Should stuff them into their holes in the ground. Leave them there. Be gone! But you do not see signs distinctly of Bupido, but there's lots of faces that happen to look close to it, and so I imagine you guys getting a little jumpy as you're kind of going through, like, oh shit, is that him? Oh no, that's not him. But you continue on following this ping until eventually you find yourselves kind of moving through, passing through a couple of small hut-like structures, but nobody's in them. And as you push aside the last bit of cloth, you find yourself standing in front of a cave opening. And Indigo, you feel that the ping has slowed down. You think it's a... You can tell the exact distance away from you, yes?
Yes, as long as it's within 1,000 feet.
Okay. You think it's probably 500 feet away or so. And how long does the spell last for?
Only 10 minutes.
Okay. You feel it's about 500 feet away from you, further down this tunnel. And I will say, at that, the spell is now gone. But you know it is further down into this cave. What do you guys want to do?
We've come this far. I think we continue.
We should at least see what's down there. But Lara, do you feel okay to continue?
I'm fine.
Do you need to take a breather for a moment?
Absolutely not. Let's go.
Okay. It's really not a bother. I'm sure we can find him. I can't imagine this cave goes on very long.
Do I look anything less than physically perfectly fine right now?
Yes.
Jeez. Yes, absolutely. You look like you need to sit down.
That was a joke. I'm invisible.
Sorry.
No, I'm just
That's
kidding.
True. You are invisible. So
it's a joke. I'm invisible.
You look so bad.
Yeah, you look awful.
Maybe just every once in a while they see the black phlegm just like appear out of nowhere. It's like, oh, right, God. Right.
Something just like coughs blood onto the floor nearby.
You look like shit. You can't see me.
It's that bad.
Well, all right. Since you guys are continuing in, we're going to move to a new map. It's a bigger map. As you guys start making your way into this cave, which quickly starts turning into a tunnel, you notice a couple very interesting things about it. You kind of enter into this weird glowing section, and you see what looks like these odd spiral stripes suffusing through the bedrock all around you. And this eerie kind of dancing shadows start dancing across jagged pillars that are lining the walls. The air smells and tastes slightly metallic. And the sound around you becomes strangely muted. And the dripping of the water makes no echo, as if you stood in open air. All of you make me arcana checks.
Ooh.
Oh my fucking god.
Oh, so the good rolls just keep on coming, everybody?
No. No, it was terrible.
Okay.
Natural 1.
Oh,
fell. Wow.
Total of 8.
Yikes.
Also a 14.
Also a 14. Well, Indigo and Laura, you recognize or feel that this must be the work of the Ferez once again permeating the area here. That it has strangely warped whatever this tunnel seems to be taking you.
Lara leans over to Sval and she's like, I feel it, don't you? You know what that is?
I mean, I told you, I don't really feel hunger or tired.
Sval, you don't...
Well, that's what you're insinuating, right? You're exhausted. You sound like garbage.
Sval.
Really terrible.
It's the Ferez. You don't feel it? Indigo, you feel it, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's Ferez 100%.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the Ferez. Arthur's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I thought it felt weird.
I don't know. I think you're just saying that. It's clear you didn't know what was going on.
No, I'm rather embarrassed. I don't know what to say at this moment. I'm sort of infuriated that everyone got that but me.
I mean,
Arthur doesn't count.
You now know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, just let everybody just be aware.
Arthur, do you know what the Ferez is?
Absolutely not. I have not been in the Underdark long. I'm very curious what this is.
And as you guys are talking to each other, you almost have to take a moment to listen to each other, because it's almost like you're talking underwater slightly. Like, there's this slight distortion to your words as you're speaking due to the Ferez.
This is odd.
Think we should just move faster.
Faster, must go faster.
We'll see if the Ferez permeates this entire area. Perhaps we can move beyond, but it's hard to say.
Also, I think it might be repeating that this might be like a hideout, so like there might be like traps and stuff. So you keep your eyes out, everybody.
That being said, while we are, I guess, near the entrance-ish, I'm just gonna pop a... Oh, actually, that might be a terrible idea. You know what? I was gonna say I'm gonna cast Detect Magic, but I don't know how that would react with the Ferez around, so I'm actually going to refrain.
Okay. All right, fine. Cool.
Because I feel like this is one of those situations where, like, you pull that stupid bullshit of, I'm going to detect magic, and you're like, yeah, there's Ferez around.
I mean,
you detect all of it.
Yeah, Sifel is smart enough to know that there is with the Frez there, it will be tricky. Like, you'd have to be relatively close to pick out something very distinct from it. Not that you couldn't do it, but yeah, you are so surrounded by it. It'd be like trying to find Droki in the crowd again.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm gonna hold.
Okay. As you guys have like made your way in here, I'm not even gonna bother asking that question because I think it's Indigo with the passive perception of 16, yes?
Check.
Okay. As you guys are kind of making your slow way in here, you notice that there are actually quite a few small footprint tracks mixed in with a couple different medium-sized creatures tracks moving in and out of this tunnel here. And it makes it very hard to distinguish which set is Droki's or could be other Darrow's. So you think trying to kind of track them through means of footprints might be a bit difficult.
I think they've been this way, but it's hard to track. If this passageway branches up ahead, it might be kind of difficult to tell which way he's gone.
Perhaps we just continue forward and see what we can find out.
At least right now, the tunnel seems fairly straight.
Yeah, I mean, if need be, I can use that locate object spell again. But it is one of my more useful potential spells.
Unless we see a strong need, you should preserve the magics that you have. But it is good to know that's at our disposal.
Just in case we get, stuck.
All right, let's continue then.
Let's sneaking ahead.
You guys should have full movement of your pawns, and I'm going to ask you to really, 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 really stay on that as long as you guys are in this system here. So go ahead and begin moving yourselves forward, and I will reveal the next area of interest here. As you guys are coming forward, you find yourselves coming to a kind of intersection. You see that there is a split that goes to the north, kind of to your left, and there is a split that goes east to your right. You see that there are tracks going in both directions. However, it seems there is more traffic that happens to go eastward.
Okay. Would we have an idea of, I mean, just the description, this guy is supposedly leading us or running to a place where he meets with the gray ghosts, right? That's what
you would presume, yeah.
Would we be able to intuit that that's probably not a well-trodden path? I mean, we don't know a whole lot about the groups.
I will say you really don't know. Clearly, this was a semi-hidden area. You know that it seemed like the Grey Dwarves really weren't coming into the West Cleft District, so this could be an entirely unknown thing to them. So it could be the Grey Ghosts are not very secretive about where they are in this cave system, or they are very secretive. It's hard to distinguish.
Okay.
I think what might be best is, because I'm invisible, I could head down this tunnel where the many tracks have gone, perhaps be very quick, just see what's up ahead, and then report back.
That's a great idea.
As long as you're careful.
Why do you sound so surprised?
I don't understand. Withhold any further comments.
Yeah.
I plead the fifth.
So I will walk slowly so as to keep stealth. I know I'm invisible, but like I'm not gonna dash. I'm gonna move my full movement and just kind of head down this tunnel. I'm gonna go like 200 feet.
Okay. You do not even have to go that far. You, as you get into this space, you see that there is another fork, one that continues to the northeast a little bit, mm-hmm. and then one that seems to cut directly towards the south. And as you look south, you see that there's a smaller, narrower, what looks like entrance into what could be a larger area. But you see that there is more light coming from there, and you almost hear what sounds like a voice. But you can't distinguish exactly what it is or who.
I want to get closer to that voice.
Okay. You, as you kind of peek into this room, go ahead and make a perception check for me.
Eight.
Okay. What you see shocks you and terrifies you.
Oh no.
As you venture to the edge of the cavern, the stench of rotting meat rises.
Oh jeez.
The floor is carpeted with humanoid remains in various stages of decomposition, arranged in a spiral pattern around the cave's center. An off-key humming comes from a hunched figure working busily at something on the floor.
There you are.
And as this figure rises, you realize it's Bupido.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh!
And as he turns and faces you, he is covered, drenched in blood and gore. And he goes,
there you are. I didn't expect you to find me here with my shrine nearly finished.
And he spreads his arms wide. And you see towards the back of this cave is this horrifying pillar of bodies stacked and speared together, forming this horrid humanoid figure.
Oh my god.
And power, my faithful are finally honoring me. You? Yes. Yes, I sense that you are ready to receive my truth into your heart.
And he reaches down to his belt and he pulls forth a bloody dagger. And you see about him, six figures, dead figures, start to rise. Roll for initiative. All right, so Lara, even though you are invisible, your presence, at the very least, has been detected by Bupido, who has risen amongst this spiraling design of corpses that surround him, and six skeletal-like figures have arisen about him. And first in the order is Sifel. What are you doing? You don't know this is happening right now. Lara has gone... She's been maybe gone a minute.
Okay. Sifel is... probably starting to get worried. Like, he had reservations about Lara scouting up ahead anyway, just because of her sickness.
Mm-hmm.
not like a mental sickness. Like,
yeah, no.
I was like laughing, thinking it was a joke.
She's fucking insane. No, so he is worried, but he hasn't. He doesn't hear anything, does he? Can I make like?
You haven't. I can already say you haven't heard anything yet.
Right.
Yeah. And right. With your passive perception, you have not noticed the particular odors drifting from that chamber yet.
Yep. Yeah. So, I think he's just gonna wait. I think this turn he's just gonna wait.
All right. Next up is Arthur, who is gonna do the same thing. And then finally, we have Bupido. Oh, Bupido. Who starts chuckling.
I will find you.
And he dips his hand into a small pouch at his belt, and he tosses something up into the air, and you see like this dark powder kind of go about them, and then they disappear. But you still see, Lara, these six figures kind of shambling there, and it is their turn. And as they cannot particularly see you, they just start kind of shambling about the room. So one comes all the way up here, another one drifts there. One kind of drifts to... They're all kind of slowly moving north-westward. But you do not have eyes on Bupido anymore. And we are now at Stool's turn. And Stool's happy to just be here. He's hanging out with his buds.
This feels terrible.
So that is their turn. Indigo, you are up.
Man, this is a boring tunnel. That's my turn.
It's really not great around here.
Okay. And Laura, before you do anything, I need you to make a sanity check for me. Because the sights in front of you are horrifying.
I have disadvantage.
What's your score?
I have a 16, but I'm exhausted.
Your sanity is at 16 still?
Yeah, I started at 16. I lost one in the prison escape, and I regained one on the island.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, Lara has the best sanity out of all of us.
Surprisingly. Yeah. No, at disadvantage, though, because this is a check here.
So. I got an 8.
Okay. That is a failure. So you have failed once. So this is... Oh, boy. This is long-term... madness territory for you right now. I need you to roll me a D100, please.
Long-term madness for her first fail?
No. She's already failed.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a 95.
Could be very good.
Bad.
Yeah, I don't know if that's good or terrible.
I don't think there are a lot of good options on that table.
No, probably not.
On our eponymous table.
With what you see here in front of you, and I imagine the images it calls back to mind, and the Ferez that permeates around you. And this is... I love the dice here. This is amazing, RNG. You, like, go to let loose a cry for your friends, presumably, and you find that you cannot talk.
Oh, my God.
And you have lost the ability to speak for a certain amount of time, which I would have rolled and I will write down as a reminder. Which sucks for podcast, but,
Yeah.
Cool. Bye, Lara.
All right. So I don't know how long it'll be. Okay,
you'll let me know. You have no idea. I mean, you can still talk to us about Lara's, like, in-mind decisions and stuff like that. Yeah. There's no way you, like, you couldn't not, like, try to sign to a friend of something, you know. You can still describe all those things to us. But
verbal spells are a thing, so that's not great.
Yep, yeah, there are. Will, was the reactions that the majority of us on the beach in Sloopadoop had, was that long-term or was that short-term insanity?
That was short-term.
And that was minutes.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Long-term's really bad.
Yeah, so Lara isn't speaking at least the entirety of this combat.
Yes.
All of my spells are verbal.
Oh my god.
Very, very least, she might not be speaking for a couple of episodes.
Wow.
So, Lara, what would you like to do on your turn?
Lara goes to, like, speak and sees it and, you know, feels like she's, like, choking on the fear of it. But realizing that she is invisible and needs to do something to alert her friends, she's going to, do I want to do what's smart or what is...
Do what you feel you slash Lara would do here.
She can't even tell us who's down there.
No.
Cannot. She is invisible and she cannot tell us.
This is why I fucking love the RNG right here.
This literally is awful. Just
it fucking, yeah, you can't do anything.
Fuck,
about
I
that.
Can't do that because I can't.
Okay. This is death. This is gonna be a character death. So
one point further would have been way worse. One point less could have been pretty bad too.
Oh, they're all bad, Will, on the sanity table? That's what you're saying?
The long-term insanity table doesn't have good options?
You're saying that there was a good thing that could happen?
So, last thing I'll say about it. Short-term deals in minutes. Long-term deals with hours.
Yep.
So. All right, Sam, what you doing? What you got?
I want to move 30 feet toward the direction I came from. Okay. So I'm gonna head back down the tunnel to where I veered off and took the right at that Y.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking back at the group. I want to take out, I have 50 feet of rope.
Okay.
I want to take it out, hold on to one end, and throw the rest of it in their direction. I don't think I can hit them, but like I'm trying to like, maybe I need to wait another round.
Well,
I'll dash and do that. No, I can't. That's an action.
You can measure out the distance. However, if you throw this rope, because if you're still holding on to it, it should remain invisible as well. So
yeah, so I have to hit them with it.
Okay.
I don't think equipment does. If it's not like...
I thought it was anything you were holding.
Is it?
Yeah, I thought we ruled it before that it was whatever I was holding, yeah. So I think we should probably see.
No,
that
sounds right. I didn't know if you were like throwing it and leaving it, like detaching
it
from your person, but if you're
if
still holding it.
If she threw it and left it, yes, it would become visible. If she's holding onto one end of it, I will say for now it's still invisible.
All right, well then I'm going to throw it and drop it.
Okay. The rest of you all of a sudden see this 50-foot stretch of rope just appear and like clump to the ground.
I immediately draw my staff.
Yeah.
It is back at the top of the order with Yusufel.
Who's there? Lara, did you see something?
I guess I could clap or something.
Yeah, you could. I would say that would probably definitely drop you out of invisibility, though.
Yeah, I won't do anything.
Okay.
I'm just going to... I'm going to cautiously move up and inspect the rope that just got thrown on the floor.
There's a name tag at the end. Property of Aguilara.
Can you even get to the end without double moving to see that?
No. No. No, I will,
This is the robe of Aquilara. Amazing.
If lost, please return.
Yeah, just written continuously down the coil of it.
Nope, so I am going to...
It is a nope rope.
It is a nope rope. Oh, God. Yeah, no, I am inspecting the rope, and he speaks, and that is it.
Okay.
That is it.
It's Arthur's turn. Also kind of spooked by the emergence of this rope, is going to move... Ooh, I'm on the wrong part of Zissing. I'm going to move 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. They're going to get up behind Tefel, and he's like... Do you believe this is Aquilara's doing?
I can only assume, but I don't know what other creatures are in this cave. Okay. She's not speaking.
Well, that's the end of his turn. It's Bupito's turn now.
This is awful.
And... Bupito goes ahead and does something, and the Skelly boys go ahead and do a little something. We should go ahead and hide these areas because you guys are not looking into them now currently.
I mean, Lara can technically still see in there, can't she?
How far is her dark vision again? 60 feet?
Yeah, 60.
Oh, Christ, so, cave.
5, 10. You you get yeah, you can see a skeleton.
Yep.
In a little bit of a second one, but not by much. That's it. Next up is Stool's turn. Stool, just kind of following everybody along, like,
wow, a magically appearing rope! That's incredible.
And that's his turn. Indigo, you are up.
You know, I am also intrigued by the strange danger noodle. I'll move, 30 feet forward. And can I make a perception check to see if I can detect anything?
Sure. Go for it.
Yeah, just kind of listening into the darkness here. Mm-hmm. It's a 22.
Okay. You now smell that horrible, decaying flesh smell.
Oh. Well, that doesn't smell good at all. You guys smell that? Smells like died down here.
I don't smell anything yet. What direction is it coming from?
Indigo points towards the southeast and concludes his turn.
Okay. Lara, it is back to you.
All right. Lara, now having gotten them a little closer, I want to go forward to... I'm going to move 15 feet toward Indigo. Hearing him say that about the dead bodies... Or I heard it, right? I was 15 feet away, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I want to... grab him by the shoulders and, like, shake him, hoping that he knows that it's me.
No. Yeah. Indigo, you are shaken by an invisible person.
Oh, hey, I found Lara.
I think Lara is probably, like, breathing, like, very, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, I think they can hear you breathing, like...
Yeah. And then I want to grab Indigo's palm and start to write with my finger B, U, P, and like keep spelling Bupito.
Okay.
Over and over again.
I will say, because you grabbed onto them and kind of like shook them, that this is an action and it breaks the invisibility. So like Lara appears in front of everybody and she's writing this on your hand, Indigo. And I will say that, Indigo, you can have a free insight check to try and determine what it is she's writing upon your palm.
All right, all right.
That's a 12.
It takes you a couple of seconds to pick up on it. And she repeats it a couple times, and then it snaps into your mind. She's spelling Bupido.
Bupido.
And then as soon as he starts to say that, I want to put my hand over his mouth. And then okay. I put my finger up to my lips, and I'm like indicating to him to stay quiet.
I stay quiet.
Okay. But like, then she'll be like, but you can tell Safel, but like, be quiet.
just gesturing.
I mean, like, I just heard Indigo audibly say Bupido, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Super did. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay. So that is Lara's turn. Safel, it is yours now.
Yeah. I mean, hearing that's all Safel needs. So he is going to... Indigo pointed down southeast, and Lara said Bupido. Mm-hmm. He is going to...
Well, Lara didn't say it, but yeah, you got... You know, you're right.
Well, Indigo said Bupido. So, Safel is actually going to, Woodstaff Drawn, dash down the tunnel.
Ooh.
I was debating an opportunity attack to stop you, but I don't think I should.
I don't think I ran by you, either. I mean, like, I did, but I didn't... I wasn't in your range.
Savelle, do you want to mark out how far your dark vision is for me, by the way?
I believe his dark vision is... I think it's just 60 feet.
Okay. So you look down into this area, and you see that there are a couple... From what you can see from this particular vantage point, you see that there are a couple what look like shambling skeletons walking in this cave. And as you see what lays within... I need you to make a sanity check.
Okay.
How many times have you failed? I think you failed twice in total.
I think, yeah, two so far.
Okay.
I mean, do I see the full scene, or am I just seeing skeletons?
You can see the bodies. Like, this entire cavern is in, like, okay. This giant... Inside is just this giant spiral leading around in a circle. So you just see... like tons and tons of bodies in there making this.
Okay. So, sanity check. Let's go insane. I don't think I've passed one. I think I have been offered a sanity check twice, and I have failed both times.
Yeah, so you're looking at long term too if you fail this.
Oh, fuck me. Oh, well. Ooh. I don't know the DCs. 14?
You're okay. Okay. You do not lose yourself in the grip of what you see beyond.
Yeah.
That is a huge boon right now.
I think he feels like almost the compulsion to vomit looking at it, and he's just able to steal himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did eat somebody's brain a couple days ago.
But, yeah, you know. Yeah. Ah, here's just more brains.
Yeah, you know, stuff's getting pretty weird. It's getting harder and harder to skeeve him out. He chomped the hags.
In the underdog?
Yeah. No.
Alright, is that your entire turn?
I did say that I dashed, so yes, that yes. would be my whole deal.
Okay. Arthur turns to you, Indigo, as it is their turn, and goes,
I'm guessing by the way that Sifel has gone running off that this is someone we should be quite wary of.
Yes, he's very dangerous. He killed one of our companions before.
Then I think it is my sacred duty.
And he pulls from his belt that huge maul/axe and he starts running down the tunnel
towards
the fell. Okay. They move 5, 10, 15, 20. And they get a little bit in front of Sefel, and with this weird light, I should say dark vision doesn't matter because there's this weird glowing light everywhere. But anyways, it's just your vision. And what you can see clearly. And Arthur sees the scene before him, and he has to roll a sanity check as he just stops flabbergasted. And he fails.
Oh my god.
He is horrified at what he sees here.
Ruh-roh.
Sanity is the worst mechanic to ever exist.
He is stunned. And he is stunned for... Okay. Okay. Wow. I gotta make a note of this. Alright. Next up in the order is Bupido. And Bupido. What are you going to do? This is quite interesting. Okay, so Bupido's done. The skeletons are up next, and those that see Sefel and Arthur are now going to start shambling their way towards you. So 5, 10, 15, 20, 30. They're close, and they are both going to fire short bows. You guys, let me just get my monster stat back up here. I stupidly exited out of it. Come here, skelly boys. Okay, so short bow. First one is going at Sefel. That is a 7 on the die. That is a 12 to hit. I don't think that hits you.
It doesn't hit. That is okay. A crazy fucking bonus for a skeleton, though.
And then the second one is going to shoot at Arthur. Natural 17. They're definitely going to hit, and that is... Where did it go? That is 4 plus... 2. So 6 points of damage is done to Arthur. And he has, like, this arrow sinks into the hide draped about him. He's kind of like bobbing there, still somewhat stunned at what's happening before him. And next up in the order is Stool, and Stool is going to just start running. He's moving 5, 10, 15. He gets here and sees the skeletons, and he just calls out, "Skeletons!" And what is he going to do here? Oh, Stool.
Like, what's the point in shushing Indigo if Stool's just gonna go in there and start screaming?
Yeah, I don't know why you didn't think of that.
Well, I mean, you guys can only hear it in your minds when he yells, so.
Oh, I forget.
Yeah. Everybody forgets about old good Stool.
Because no one cares about him, Stool. Will.
You shut your damn mouth.
He's forgettable.
You're gonna be dust soon. Indigo, you're up.
You're not wrong.
Don't you dare talk about my boy that way.
So I can start to see, like, the skeletons, like, shifting over here by Sefel and that action. I'm gonna look Lara, like, dead in the eyes. We should go get him, right? Right?
I think she's, like, terrified, and she, like, looks at Indigo, and I'm assuming that he can see that she is terrified.
Yeah.
She just points at that room, and she's, like, shaking her head, like, there's bad shit in that room.
Indigo's just gonna, like, press his forehead against yours, then separate, and I'm just close enough to Sacred Flame, that skeleton that's moving up towards Sefel.
Okay. The closest one, that's a dexterity saving throw for me, right?
Yes, yes, please.
Okay, yeah, because these skelly boys we know are quite good at those. Wow, that's a natural 18 plus 2 for a 20.
Yeah, that does it.
Skeleton be nimble. He's just like, fuck your god! He doesn't say anything. He can't talk.
I don't know why I know this, but I hate that skeleton.
I hate him.
I hate that son of a bitch.
And I'm just going to, like, whisper to Laura,
I have to try. I can't leave them.
And I'm going to make my way 30 feet down the passage.
Okay. Laura, you are up.
I'm going to use my action to call forth my... Can I actually do a greatsword this time?
Does it say that you can change it every time?
Yes.
It does. Okay, then
And
yes.
With my improved packed weapon, I can actually make it a ranged weapon, but I have to have the ammo for it.
Okay. Well, if you want to make it a greatsword this time, make it a greatsword this time.
Yeah, it feels like a greatsword kind of moment.
Okay. Yeah, the almost exact replica of Grozit's weapon forms in your hands.
Okay. She's going to take both hands, and I want to move 30 feet west. Or east.
East.
West.
Wouldn't that be east?
Yes.
Sorry. Anyways.
And so I'm gonna move my full movement, not getting any closer to the room, but mm-hmm. just getting closer to the combat by moving fully east, and that's it.
Okay, we are back at the top of the order with Sefel. Sefel, you see these two skeletons closing in on you. You do not see any sign of Pupito yet.
Okay. I am going to. I'm assuming the skeleton that is closest to me was the one that fired on me?
Yes.
Okay. I am going to launch a Celestial Burst at it in retaliation. So,
okay.
So Sefel sort of raises his staff and swirls it around in the air, and as he does, stardust, like, appears in the air, and that gnarled end of his staff kind of collects it all in this... glowing nebulous orb, and he throws it outward towards the skeleton. 4. Pocked. Okay. 24 to hit.
That is a hit. Dang, son.
So it hits him for, not great, 3 points of radiant damage.
Okay, this, so that is doubled, I believed, because it is undead. Yes, so you do 6 points of... Actually, I mean, is that just across the board undead?
Unless it says it's vulnerable to radiant damage, it would just take normal.
And then it just takes normal.
Yeah, because the spell doesn't say it does more damage to undead, so unless the creature stat block says that it's vulnerable to radiant damage, it's just straight damage.
All right, then. Is that your entire turn, my friend?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay. You hear a voice call out from somewhere. It's like, Sefel.
I've been waiting for you. Good to see you found me.
Show yourself, monster.
All in good time.
And next up is Arthur, who is stunned, so we're just going to move right past him, and it is now Bupito's turn.
Oh, Bupito, what are you going to do?
Pupito. This could be interesting. So They're going to do that, and that is their turn. Next up are the skeletons. The one closest to you, Sifel, is going to move up within 5 feet of you and is going to swing their short sword at you. Okay. Okie dokie. Wow. Another bad one. That is an 11 to hit.
That does not hit.
Okay. And that is that one's turn. The one that is in front of Arthur is actually going to step up to the stunned Arthur, and he's going to, I believe you can attack with advantage against the stunned creature. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yep. So he's going to swing at Arthur.
It's not an auto crit, though.
No. And surprisingly, the skeleton misses. He, like, one of his bones kind of snaps, and he like, digs his sword into the dirt. But next up are the other skeletons. This one's going to... Actually, you know what? They can probably do that, can't they? Let's see why they couldn't. Yeah. These are pretty smart skelly boys. This one that has just appeared at the mouth of this cave opening is going to fire upon Sifel. That is a 20 to hit.
Yep, that'll do it.
And you take 5 points of piercing damage.
Ouch.
30, and then one of the skeletons to the far back starts to come into sight here, and they are going to fire from all the way in the back. They're going to fire at Indigo. That's a natural 15, and that is a 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
You take 8 points of piercing damage.
Ow.
That is max damage right there. A farther one to the south is going to move north as well. 15, 20, 30. And they're going to pull out their short bow, and they are going to fire at Indigo again. Different die, because why not? That's a natural 8. I don't think a 13 would hit you, right?
Nope.
Okay. And then finally, the last skeleton emerges. And he's going to double move. And he's going to get up here. And that is the end of their turn. Next up is Stool. And Stool is going to move 10, 15, 20, 25. Their full movement to get over by Sifel, kind of running southeasterly. And they are... What do they got for actions here? They're going to try and unarmed strike him, this skeleton. Come on, Stool. That's a 7. Okay. All right. Not bad. That's a hit. And he does 4 points of damage to that skeleton. So that skeleton's looking a little rough. And that is the end of their turn. Indigo, you are up.
Alright, Indigo looks around themselves, does some quick math. He's gonna run up next to, the two skeletons near Arthur Vane, kind of putting himself, in a very inconvenient spot, but then he is gonna grab his holy symbol, hold it up, and I'm going to channel divinity turn undead on these fools.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
And now, right, remember, and he looks back at Laura, if they start running away, we don't attack them, because that stops the thing.
She's like, I can't speak and I can't hear. Shrug.
Alright, so they're all making what, wisdom saving throws?
Wisdom saving throws all around. DC 14.
Alright, I got 6 d20s here. Okay. Holy smokes. Can you just tell me your DC right now?
14.
All of them but one fail. And I'm going to say...
Which one?
It's this one here, still relatively close to Indigo, that does not fail. However, everybody else does fail. And I'm going to put a little marker there. What should we do? I'm just going to put the like X out symbol, like, nope, no fighting, gotta run. Okay. Is that your entire turn, my good sir?
Yes, only one last thing I'll do is just point at the one that's not turned, because I can tell, I'll be like, get that one! The rest of them, ignore them, they're not here, get that one!
Did Andrew make a sanity check?
Oh, you have not, my friend.
Why do you say things? Why would you
do that?
Look,
it's only fair.
You know what? I'm going to say, because of everything that was there until he got here, he probably wouldn't have had a good enough view of the room. So I will say now, after this moment has passed, you can make a sanity check here.
Is it a wisdom saving throw, a charisma saving throw?
It has its own modifier.
It's just sanity. You have your own sanity.
Okay. How many times have you failed, by the way, Indigo?
I have failed, just like Sefel, both two times I've tried. Yep.
Okay, so you're looking at long-term madness here.
13.
God. You hit the mark exactly.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Another one manages to save. And actually, I need to roll one for Stool. I forgot Stool
are
as
these,
well.
Bummer, have to kill him.
He saves. Andrew, because of something very, very important that you have done, that is a divination specific kind of spell. Yes, I know it's like an ability though.
Talking about channeled divinity.
Yeah,
you know, it's an ability, not a spell, so it doesn't come with a school.
Okay, well then I will say you are fine then. I'll just have to remember that is a thing that could happen. Okay, Lara, it is your turn.
I think Lara, I mean, she saw two of her her buddies getting hit with arrows, and clearly Arthur is, like, frozen. So I think she's a little more snapped out, and she's going to run, like, fully against the wall leading down into that southeast cavern and move 30 feet toward where Indigo is standing. And then I'm going to move... I think she stops next to Indigo, raises her sword as if she's going to hit the skeleton.
No!
And then she's like, nods. And then I'm going to dash past Indigo to be next to this other one that is not scared. But I dash, so that's it.
Okay. All right, and that is the end of your turn. We are back at the top of the order, going into the fifth round here. Sefel.
I am going to... All of the ones around me are turned, but there's also one right up in my face. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hold.
Okay.
I'm going to hold an action.
Yes.
If this skeleton leaves my range, like if it turns to run and leaves, I'm going to cast Celestial Burst at it again.
We had one rule, Sefel.
They have to die regardless. How about we do it before Bupito shows up?
It's a minute-long effect. They don't get another save.
Well, then let's pick them off one by one.
All right. So
Lara sees... Well, I guess it's not until they move, right?
Yeah. So, Sefel is holding until the nearest skeleton starts to move away from him. Arthur is still stunned. Next up is Bupido. And I'm going to go ahead and check something real quick. Yikes. I'm sorry. I'm just making sure I have this all right. Laura. Does a 24 hit you?
Nope.
No.
It don't?
Of course it does.
Okay.
Stupid questions.
Yeah. Fire him.
You feel this intense, sharp, and burning sensation as Bupido materializes in front of you, and their dagger, their bloody dagger, sits to the hilt inside of your belly. And he just starts maniacally laughing. Another one falls. And now I have to roll a lot of sneak attack damage.
Fuck.
Probably better me than Indigo, though, who... Do you lose turn undead if you go down?
Is that a concentration thing? They don't get another save. I feel like that's just a thing that happens.
It is not a concentration thing, thankfully.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's nice.
I just do that.
I just do
it. Must Laura. Be nice to be chosen by God.
Chosen by God! Anyways. Laura, you take 18 points of piercing damage.
Ooh. Ooh.
Are you still standing?
Oh yeah, I'm still standing.
Okay. And they... like twist this dagger in your belly and pull it slowly out, and they go,
all of you will be dead before long, added to increase my power.
And that's where we'll leave it this week.
Gosh, it's so good to see you again. You're one of our favorite listeners. You made it to the post show notes. Thank you so much for your support. Yes, new outro means new news. We started a Discord server. Yes, we wanted to create a space for our listeners to meet fellow fans of the show. It's a new community, so hop on in, say hi. We'll be there. You can find it by going to our Twitter page, and it's linked up at the top there. Our linktree.com/themadnesstable has all of our links to all of our stuff. Speaking of which, if you haven't, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We try to, you know, post some memes and other exciting stuff, especially on Twitter, so we would love the support there. We're also going to be launching a bonus action segment soon where we talk about the behind the scenes for the different chapters of our story. So please keep an eye out for those. And if you want to submit any questions for a future bonus action segment, please email us at themadnesstable@gmail.com. Lastly, please leave a review if you haven't. All the reviews do is they help us grow. It's a quick, easy, and free way to show your support. And, you know, we always appreciate that. So again, thank you so much for listening. We hope you're happy and healthy. We'll see you next week.